Blog Talk Radio.
You sit at a desk. They sit at a desk. You have sales reports. They have book reports. You need supplies. They need supplies. Business is a lot like school. That's why your small business should take advantage of back-to-school deals at Staples. Now, Staples 1-inch 3-ring binders are $1.92. One subject notebooks are just 25 cents, and two pocket poly folders are just 35 cents each. Make back-to-school your business at Staples.
In-store only while supplies last. Offer ends 9/1/18, limit 30.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Insight into Healing, season premiere. Hoping you all had a wonderful summer and were able to relax and enjoy yourself. I'm so excited to start this season off. I've been waiting and waiting, receiving so many amazing questions from listeners. Again, Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. If you have any questions, show ideas, or would like to be a guest, please send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com. And also please check out my book, Finding Your Peace Within the Chaos, at ccbpublishing.com/aservodidiotml. If you would like an autographed copy, please send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com. I also have some very, very exciting news. My TV show, The Alexa Show, will be moving to a different station. So once I get all the details and show dates, I will definitely give you guys all the information and keep you updated. Also, some incredible guests I have coming up this season on Insight into Healing. One is Victoria Caputo. We will be discussing her struggle and journey of living with mental illness and her book, Trust Me, Through the Eyes of a Survivor. Also, I'll be having returning guest Richard Cirelli, playwright, producer, and author, to be discussing his play, A Lonely Summit, in which we will be doing a reading Sunday, September 16th at 2 p.m. at White Plains Performing Arts Center. Another incredible guest I will be having is Regina Catrino. We'll be talking about her daughter, Jaina, and her addiction to heroin and overdose, and how to deal in recovery, in healing, and moving forward. Such a painful topic, but unfortunately such a relevant topic. And that's how I'm going to lead into our first question. Dear Insight into Healing, thank you for doing so many episodes on addiction and recovering. During one of your episodes, a great topic was brought up, how the disease affects everyone around the person. My question is, what's it like for those who stepped away from someone in addiction? There aren't a lot of people seeking support or treatment for their pain and hurt in that process, especially after they've let that person go. How can that affect that person in their life and relationships after they don't heal too? Such an incredible, wonderful question, and definitely so many different layers. And I think it is really important that people need to understand if a loved one, friend, coworker, family member has an addiction problem and is still currently using, and that they have walked away or stepped back to create some distance, that they too are going through a traumatic experience and need to seek some help. Not that there's anything really wrong with them, but it's such a hard process, as if anyone who knows who's been dealing with someone who has an addiction or themselves has gone through addiction or is currently going through an addiction. The process is a struggle. It's an up-and-down journey. There's so many different layers to it. So I definitely encourage those who have a loved one that is suffering from an addiction to definitely be able to seek help. And that is maybe seeking a therapist, group therapy, sometimes going to Al-Anon. I think those are really important things to do so you're able to discuss and explore your feelings. Because it is a loss. It is a death of an ideal. It's a loss of a loved one, that there has to be a grieving process. Not that this loved one is or will pass away, but it's being able to take that step back, which a lot of times when someone is currently using and is an addict, their loved ones have to take a step back. They can't keep some enabling or some just going through that up and down roller coaster where it gets to the point it takes a real toll on everybody around them. And I think that's such an important layer to address. I think with addiction or with caregivers, which will also be another topic on one of my upcoming shows, when you're taking care of someone with a terminal illness, mental illness, addiction, that caregiver has to learn to take care of themselves. Self-care is very important. Being able to say, as I say, feed yourself emotionally, mentally, verbally, spiritually is very important. So I believe also getting back to this question, from a person who has stepped away from a loved one who has an addiction concern, it's important that they do seek help. And I think that's very, very important because there is a lot of pain and hurt in that process. And I think a lot of times there's a lot of guilt, there's a lot of questioning, there's a lot of pain of, am I doing the right thing? And also, if that person is still reaching out to you, it's really hard to say no to a loved one when they're in pain, when they're in crisis, even though that's the best thing you can do, not to enable them to keep going forward. That is very, very hard. And I think, yes, it is very important to be able to seek help for that. And I think, how does it affect that person in their life, in their relationships after that, if they don't heal? If they don't heal, I think like any traumatic experience, any loss, you don't complete your grieving process. You keep that with you, that pain, that traumatic experience as it's playing every moment, every night, every day in your mind. It kind of takes over all the space in your mind and your thoughts that it does become very overwhelming and definitely impacts your quality of life. And as I always say, stress can really wreak havoc on the body. It's not just cliche. It's really important what stress can do to your digestive system, to your heart, to your mind, to anything physical and emotional. It's important to find a release, if that is in private practice, group therapy, also going to any types of AA or NA for Al-Anon. I think to also be around other people who are going through something similar, to be able to hear what others are doing. I think it validates and it gives you strength that you're not alone. And as I always say, you don't have to go through this alone. It's no competition or race of who can be stronger and I don't need help and I can do this. We don't need that. We all need help. We need support. We need to surround ourselves with really healthy people. We need to surround ourselves with professionals, people who can help us through this pain, provide us with educational tools, provide us with support, provide us just with sometimes sitting there and listening. And I think so many times if it's addiction or loss or traumatic experiences, sometimes the people who are suffering just need someone to sit there and listen. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to make the pain go away. And I think so many people think, what am I going to say? I don't know what to do. I'm scared to make it worse. No. You can just listen. You can just be there. You don't have to have the answers. So I think it's important for those listening who have someone who's suffering from dealing with someone who has an addiction problem. Sometimes just asking, are you okay? Let me know if you'd like to go for a walk. Sometimes just venting and speaking about that helps release the pain. Well, thank you. Thank you so grateful that you've been listening to my episodes and that they've been reaching you. And please keep sending in more questions. And I will definitely be doing in a couple of episodes coming up. We'll be speaking, as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, a guest, Regina Cretino. We're going to be talking about her daughter who died from a heroin overdose and the struggle that she's going through and what her story is, and hopefully to share some information and some comfort and some inspiration and hope for those of my listeners who are suffering, either with their own addiction or who have lost someone to addiction. So once again, thank you so much for writing in. This actually leads us right into our next question. Dear Insight into Healing, I have been suffering in silence for many years. It has been a dark and painful journey towards healing and recovery. What are some healing strategies I can use? Such an incredible question. Really just piggybacks on the last question. I think this can really go through anything that a person is going through that they consider a dark and painful journey. And I think this is a really important thing to bring up. If you feel that it's a dark and painful journey, do not minimize what you're going through and compare it to someone else and say in your mind, because I hear so many people doing this, so many clients, well, I shouldn't be that upset because this person's going through this. I don't have the right to be upset because this person, or I deserved it because I did this. There's no room for that. As I always say, no judgment. Don't judge your pain. Don't judge yourself. And don't minimize your journey, because that is what stops you from healing and moving forward and into recovery, because you're still punishing yourself. You're not allowing yourself to take care of yourself and give yourself the love and the self-care that you deserve. Forgive yourself. We all can forgive ourselves. I think that's so, so important. And as you know from listening to my shows for many, many years, I have a strong, strong faith in God. And He forgives us, we can forgive us. And I know I'm not saying you all have to believe in my religion. I'm not saying you have to believe what you need to believe in. But know that you are forgiven and know that you can move forward. And don't carry that guilt, that shame, and that judgment on yourself. You've been through too much. Stop punishing yourself. You don't need to punish yourself anymore. And I think that's just so, so important. I think some tools for healing strategies. I was listening to Tyler Perry a couple of weeks ago, and I'm reading one of his books, and it's so important. He always talks about climb, maintain, pray, and worship. And I think, again, you can take these four steps in your own way of thinking, in your own way of an idea of what your higher power is. I think we look at our problems, traumatic experiences, loss, addiction, abuse. We look at all these problems, anxiety, depression, suicide. Look at them, suicide prevention. Look at them as these mountains, because isn't that what they are? They're these huge mountains, and in our minds, if we visualize it, we're standing at this bottom of this mountain. We're looking up saying, how am I going to get over this mountain? I can't even climb. I think it's so important to take that step that you can climb. And I know this is a very important moment in this journey when you're at the darkest, most painful part of this journey. You are in so much pain that it's even hard sometimes to lift your head up to get out of bed. I get it, and I understand, and I think it's so important. Please keep moving forward. I had a wonderful guest on my show a while ago. She said, never give up. Show up, throw up, but always show up and never give up. And I think that's so important. You don't have to show up perfect. You don't have to show up and put on a fake face and act like everything's okay. You can show up and throw up. How about that? Physically, mentally, emotionally, you can show up and say, hey, I'm going through something, but I'm showing up. And that is so powerful, to be able to show up, to be able to know, even if you don't feel like it in your heart, you've got this. You've got this. You can do this. God has got this. And to keep moving forward and maintain. Maintain this power. How you maintain this strength, again, is surrounding yourself with a healthy community. And I think that is so much, so, so important. And will also lead us into our last question in a little bit. Who are you surrounding yourself with? Make sure you have people with good intentions. People who are working on themselves. No one has to be perfect. No one has to have their life completely solved and everything's great. There's nobody like that. We all have issues. We all have problems. We all have stuff that we need to work on. Find people who want the best for you, and find people who want to learn, and find people who are able to self-reflect and look at themselves. Those are the people you want to surround yourself with. So some more healing strategies, I would definitely say, do a lot of reading. Look for self-help books, but also know, make sure they're from a very reliable source to look into that. And don't have to take everything they say and apply it to you. As I always say, take one or two things. If you get one or two things that hit you and you're like, aha, okay, this I can take with me through my life. This is building my foundation of who I am after going through this traumatic experience, after going through this loss, after going through this pain. And this will be the blocks in my foundation. I have many sayings that I've definitely heard throughout the years that stuck with me. One my father used to say all the time, this too shall pass. Rejection is God's protection. All we can do now is move forward. Trust God and let go. Be still and know that I am God. These are such important things that I've heard throughout my life from childhood to currently, recently, as a couple of days ago, that I keep in my little notebook in my head. It's in my little toolbox in my mind. So I file it in there and I know when those things can come up. And I try to say them and surround myself with these positive thoughts, these positive affirmations throughout the day. Even when things are going really, really well, I still want to remind myself and keep maintaining that strength. And I think that's what's really important. And also, you know, if you do have a strong faith in God, pray and worship, even just talking about it, being able to have thoughts in your mind and asking for what you want and setting goals of how you envision yourself, what you envision your future to be. And I think that's so, so important. Also, seek therapy. Again, it could be one-on-one. It could be group therapy. A lot of times group therapy is so powerful to be surrounded by others who've gone through something. Doesn't have to be the exact thing. Could be something totally different. But I think the pain, the darkness, those really low points, to know that you're not alone, that other people have gone through this. And I think it's such a powerful bond and such a powerful testament to be surrounded by others who've gone through so much and are healing. And I think it's important to also be surrounding yourself with people who can provide you hope, can provide you inspiration, strength, support, and being able to get on that road for healing and recovery. And to this person who wrote in, I understand you said it's been a very dark and painful journey and suffering in silence for many years. Yes, and I think a lot of people do that. And I think they feel that nobody wants to know. They don't want to burden other people. They think that there's no answer. There's no hope. But as I said, there always is. There's always something to work on. There's always someone just had to listen to you, to be there for you. And I really want to stress again, please don't ever give up. Always seek help. Always speak to someone. There will be someone to help you. You don't have to do this alone. And so many times when we isolate, when we stay by ourselves, that increases the depression. That increases the anxiety. We start having that negative monologue play over and over and over again in our minds. And we need, that's why, to reach out to others. If it's just reading, if it's watching it on the internet, if it's watching it on television, if it's listening in your car, feed yourself with that positivity. Feed yourself with ideas of growth, with ideas of healing. And you don't have to believe them right away. You don't have to say, okay, I feel better. Don't expect that. That's not what it is. But we're planting seeds, as Tyler Perry, in another show I heard him on, we're planting seeds. You don't just plant a seed and then expect a tree to come out, right? And he had a great metaphor. He goes, every day, if you planted something in the backyard, you planted a seed, every day you dug it up, you looked at it and said, oh, it's not, did it grow? It'll never grow. You have to leave it in the ground. You have to water it. You have to do that, and you have to find peace in your heart to trust that it's going to grow. And that's really important to envision in your mind. Trust that you're going to heal. Trust that you're going to recover. Trust that things are going to get better, and pray and have hope and surround yourself with others. But it's also very important, as I was saying, to help adjust your mindset. What are you thinking? What are the thoughts? Really analyze what's in your mind and help that to a more healthier point of view. Again, thank you for writing in, and I hope my answers have helped you and provided you with some great tools and strategies on your healing and recovery journey. Let's go to our last question. Dear Insight into Healing, how important is it to be aware of toxic people and toxic relationships in our lives? What do we do if we realize we have toxic people and toxic relationships in our lives? Great question. I love how all these questions have piggybacked on each other. And I think that's so important that, again, what I was saying earlier, who are you surrounding yourself with? Who are your support systems? And I know some of us have those friends or those family members who've been with us since childhood. They are incredible. They've always been there, but they're not that healthy, or they're always negative. They always find that why this is not going to work. I get it. Some people are just like that, but if that's all you surround yourself with, no matter how strong you are, those thoughts start seeping in your head. They start seeping into your mindset. Maybe at first you don't listen, but subconsciously, the more you hear about that negativity, the more you just start believing it. It starts becoming like brainwashing, even if the other person, that's not their intention. So I think it's really also finding out, when you say toxic people and toxic relationships, really be able to take an inventory. How toxic is this person from 1 to 10? And how much does their toxicity impact your quality of life? That is very important. We don't have to keep people in our lives that cause us so much pain and that destroy our quality of life. Yes, we don't have some, you know, we have some friends that just maybe aren't the best at everything, that aren't the most happiest, but we know deep in our hearts they really have our best intentions. They really love us. And you know what? They're working on themselves. That's the most important thing. If there's someone who's kind of negative or has had some, you know, gone down some wrong paths, but they're working on themselves and they can admit, hey, I'm not perfect, I have stuff going on, sometimes I get really negative, I'm sorry, that person is considered, let's keep them around. Because I find, not just because I'm a therapist, I think it's so important to be around people who are able to work on themselves. And I think anyone who's been in therapy knows it's not an easy task. It is grueling. It is gut-wrenching. But it is the most powerful thing you can do for yourself. And I think that's why it's important to find others who are also working on themselves, because they're able to kind of think and really self-reflect. So I think that's one thing. Look at how toxic the person is. And how are they working on themselves? Also, do they have our best intentions? Are they jealous? Do they want us not to succeed? Why are they so toxic? And I think a lot of people say, oh, well, they've had such a hard life. They've had all these horrible things happen to them. I feel bad. They don't have anyone else. I don't want to cut them off. I get that, and I understand that. But then you refer them to get professional help. That's not your job. You're not their verbal, emotional punching bag. That's not, okay, I have a badge on my heart. I get to say how much I can get verbally beaten up and feel bad by this person, and I can take it. Why live your life like that? You, as a good friend or coworker or family member, recommend, hey, you don't want to enable them. Hey, listen, I know you're going through a tough time. You've gone through a lot, but that still doesn't give you the right to mistreat others, to take advantage of others. I know you can't see out of your negativity. You can't see out of your pain and your loss. I get that. But you can't, I love you too much to let you go around the rest of your life feeling like that and behaving like that. And also, I respect myself and my quality of life, and I can't allow myself around that negativity all the time. So I think it's very important to, again, to look at the degree of toxicity. And I think sometimes we have coworkers, we have bosses that, you know, we can't get rid of them. We have to work, we need that job. But I think it's really, you know, what boundaries can you set up? Make sure you have some emotional armor on you if these are people you have to deal with. And I think saying, okay, how is it impacting my quality of life? I know there's some jobs and there's some bosses, we've all worked on them, where you come home and you're exhausted. You're emotionally beaten down. You can't take anymore. And you look at that and say, is this really the job worth it? What is worth me not having emotional peace, mental peace, physical peace? So I think it's really being able to, and not to make any rash decisions. I'm not saying make any big decisions and call in and quit your job tomorrow or cut off that family member or friend. Don't ever do anything when you're in the moment of something. Sit with it. Think about it for a couple of days. Let it kind of ferment in your mind. Look at all the different options. Really be able to sit with it and see, what can I do with it? That's the first step. So don't make any major moves. Don't make any major decisions unless there's safety. If there's a safety concern, make that major decision. If there's not a safety concern, think in your mind. Really take an inventory of the people you're surrounding yourself with and really look at, how are they impacting my quality of life? What purpose do they serve in my life? And why do they sit at my table of life? What do they bring to that table? And that's not being self-righteous. That's not being, you know, oh, I think I'm the best thing in the world. No, that's self-care. We have to respect ourselves enough to say, hey, I'm not going to let you speak to me like that. I'm not going to let you treat me like that, no matter what pain you're going through. Yes, none of us are perfect. Sometimes we lash out at loved ones and people around us. But look at yourself. If you are able to control yourself and not lash out all the time and spew your pain on everybody. You have to learn to regulate your emotions, regulate your feelings, regulate your behaviors and your thoughts, because the world is in a place where we're allowed just to spew everything on everyone and people have to take it. No, that's not what life is about. That's why I think it's so important to be able to seek professional help, to be able to work on that. But that's not everybody else's job in the world, is to heal your pain. People can support us. They could be there for us, but they don't have to heal our pain. They don't have to fix it. That comes from us. That comes from within us. That comes from God. And I think that's so important. I know so many times when you're in so much pain, people are desperate and you're just grasping at straws and just trying to keep your head above water. I get it. But no, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to live with that anger. You don't have to live with that pain, that depression, that anxiety. Seek help and always, always surround yourself with healthy people. So these questions have all piggybacked and all have worked so well together. And I think some great themes to take with this is, make sure you surround yourself with a healthy community, personally and professionally. Make sure you're aware and acknowledge your pain and your healing journey. Don't minimize it, don't judge it, and don't push it underneath the rug. And always know, what are the steps on this journey for healing and recovery? They don't happen overnight. We have to plant them. We have to water them. We have to maintain. We still have to climb, and we have to pray for guidance, strength, hope, and inspiration. Again, thank you, everyone, so much for tuning in to Insight into Healing. It's been such a great summer, but I am so, so happy and thrilled to be back on the air with my listeners. You are such an amazing community, and really every day I am so grateful and blessed to have you in my life. So everyone, if you have any questions, show ideas, or would like to be a guest, or if something hit a chord or triggered a thought, please send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com. Also, please find us on Facebook for upcoming shows at facebook.com/insightintohealing. All my shows are archived on blogtalkradio.com/AlexaS29. All my shows are downloaded for free and are there at any time to be listened to. So please, please send me an email, listen to the shows, keep sending in your questions, and don't ever give up. Everyone, have a good night, and God bless.
Paris was only the beginning.
The most anticipated TV series of 2018 is now on Amazon Prime Video.
Dr. Ryan, you found him.